You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, the things that happen at remotes. We're here at the Maple Heights dealership, Liberty Ford dealership in Maple Heights, Warrensville Road. So we got a big blow-up of a Browns player in a three-point stance. And for some reason, he was out of his stance. And Kelly Carroll from our staff here took care of it and got him back into place because he was offside. I mean, it was a false start. So
you don't want him in the neutral zone.
I'm not sure what side of the ball he's playing, but I'll tell you what. In either way, he was getting a yellow flag, and we just don't want that. So Kelly took care of it. He's back in the position.
Well done, Kelly.
And he is right in front of the – right in front of the entrance when you come in if you want to get into a blocking drill with the big blow-up. Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura. And it is time for the much-anticipated, the nationally renowned, and sweeping the nation.
After further review.
Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. Take it away, Dave.
Gentlemen, we start off here number one. Rob Chudzinski made a tactical error going for two after the Browns got that touchdown in the third quarter of Sunday's loss to the Patriots. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction on the decision to go for two. I hated, though, the play call. I did not like a running play up the middle that was not working at all. And to try to make that work under those circumstances, which the Patriots were more than ready for, was my problem. I didn't dislike the idea. He stuck true, as coaches do, to their card that tells them when to do that, when to make that decision. And I don't dispute that. I know you can say sometimes that's overdone and you can't be too rigid about that. But if I was looking for a different call, then that was my problem with it.
I have no problem with the fact that he went for two there. I would have put the ball in Jason Campbell's hand and thrown the football, given how, you know, this isn't exactly the greatest rushing offense in the National Football League right now. So I would have thrown the football.
You put that nicely.
I did.
I just think, you don't go for two until you have to go for two. And I realize you're playing against Tom Brady, but to me it's just, why give up the point? You don't need to give up. Why take that risk yet? You're not at that point.
And again, under these circumstances, you're in the outcome being what it was, 27-26, you're going to look at that and say that, of course. But
they would have kicked an extra point themselves, though.
This has the look to me of a decision that, as Nathan said, if you're going to throw it, I mean, if you're going to go down there and make the play,
right,
and knowing what's been working for your offense, throw it. And I think, who knows how it would have come out, but I think he had a better chance to succeed.
Well, of course, and if it works, we'd have said, man, another great, bold decision by Chud.
Right, but I don't think that impacted the outcome of the game in any way.
No.
All right.
After further review.
Boy, talking about a fiasco, what's going on in Washington right now with the Redskins is a fiasco. My question for you, gentlemen, is Mike Shanahan bears the most responsibility for what's going on down there that has them at 3-10. Is that
fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fact. Head coach, and especially one who was hired with the authority that he was given, basically to run, all things football. Yeah, that's Daniel Snyder's team, and he is a prominent owner. I mean, he's a prominent presence, not only in Washington, but in the entire NFL. But when it comes to that football team, he hired and paid a premium to get Mike Shanahan there to manage things. And that means managing everything, including Robert Griffin III. And I don't think that situation has been managed well at all. And you could say there's culpability on the part of the young player, but that's just what he is, a young player. Mike Shanahan's been doing this forever, and he's got the Super Bowl rings to go with that. You've got to manage that situation better.
You got to manage it better. I almost think he wants out of there. It definitely seems that he wants out of there. That is a situation where those two guys do not seem to be able to coexist. And if you're a Redskins fan this season, has been an absolute debacle for you. RG3 is not playing well. Shanahan and he, clearly there's a strained relationship. There's a power struggle going on. And as you well know, Notorious, when there's a power struggle going on an NFL team between a head coach and a quarterback and the owner is the one in the middle, that is not a recipe for success.
No, but I tend to agree with you. I do think his desire to be out of there and to move on to whatever the next thing is, well, it's been rumored that maybe it's Houston for him, possibly to be reunited with Gary Kubiak there.
Yep.
You know, all those things. I mean, Kubiak as like a coordinator. They were together in Denver. So, yeah, I do think that that's kind of floating in the background. And he's been also – he's been very coy, right, in his answers of questions about the whole circumstance. Was he cleaning out his office at the end of last season because he was done with the team after the playoff loss? And his response was kind of, well, it wouldn't take me all but a couple of minutes to clean out the office. I've got a couple of notepads and an iPad, and I'm out of there. Okay.
He did not say
great.
No.
Exactly.
That was like a non-denial
denial. It was a non-denial denial back from our Watergate, back to our Watergate days.
After further review,
Caleb Haney will remain the Browns' backup quarterback for the remainder of this season. Is that
fact or fiction?
What do you think, Nathan?
I'm going to say fiction. I think I'm not sure that Caleb Haney's even going to be here all season long. I think that if Brandon Whedon comes back healthy, the fact that they went with Tanny was the first person they signed. I think that they needed Haney if they thought they had to throw somebody in the game action. And once Whedon is cleared, I don't think Haney will be with us for the rest of the season.
I'm going to agree with Nathan on that as well. I think, you know, ideally your heartbeat away guy, your one snap away guy, should be someone who has a handle on what you're doing offensively, and much better handle. And again, once he's physically cleared, which I think he will be soon, is Brandon Whedon. He should be the guy fulfilling that role again through the balance of the season. I think the Haney thing was, again, just what it was, just an insurance policy.
After further review,
barring anything unforeseen, the Denver Broncos will waltz into the Super Bowl representing the AFC. Is that
fact or fiction?
Waltz is a little bit aggressive of a term, but I think given the injury to Rob Gronkowski, I think the one team that really could have competed with them was the New England Patriots. Now, I think that on any given Sunday, anything can happen, but I think they are the prohibitive favorite right now to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, me too. I think they march in, though. I don't think football teams should be waltzing. I think they got to march in. A very, you know, sturdy march. And, yeah, they should, because the Gronkowski injury changes everything for the Patriots, doesn't allow them to compete at the level that they need to. You need offense to deal with that team. And the Pats got a lot of it taken away. A guy who is worth 11 more points per game to them in the six games that he had been back, or seven counting this Browns game, versus the first six that he missed.
All right, and
after further review,
here's this one we were talking about this morning on the Really Big Show, and I wanted to get your guys' take on it. Because of all the controversies now with both the head and the knee injuries going on in the league, the NFL needs to create a target zone on offensive players' uniforms. Is that
fact or fiction?
Well, I'm going to say fiction to the creation of the zone. Are we actually talking about it being incorporated into the uniform itself?
Almost like a bullseye. Yeah, but yeah,
no,
something like
that. I think that would be a real undignified way of trying to deal with something that is important, but to put it in that sense almost is ridiculous, actually. Now, is there going to be more conversation about this? Are there going to be more challenges for players and officials to deal with this? Yeah, and I want to see more uniformity. It might have to come from the replay area. You know, it might have to be that third party that is either at the game site, or perhaps like they do with the National Hockey League, they have the reviews done in Toronto, you know, right in a control center. So you have like in New York at the league office, you know, where games are being monitored anyway in real time by an officiating staff there. Dean Blandino, the head of officiating, director of officiating for the league, and his crew, you know, somehow, some way, some form, you try to bring more uniformity to the calls.
Yes. I don't think that putting something, a strike zone on the jerseys, though, is the way to go about doing it.
Which I don't either, but it was just, it was an interesting out-of-the-box take that we talked about.
That
was
like, I'm aware of that, it's not the first time I've heard somebody say it. I mean, could there come a time when a lot of different things that we don't see now happen in this game, such as some sort of sensory at the goal line, you know, attached to the football so you know that the ball really broke the plane and those sort of things. And you can make it – I mean, you can add more technology to the game. There's a lot available right now. It's still amazing to me that after all the digital technology that coaches use to prepare for each game, what's available to a coaching staff, to players on their iPads, that they can, you know, just have their fingertips on plays and situations to get ready, the game plan, everything at their fingertips electronically or through the cloud or whatever, that on game day, what do head coaches grasp and play callers grasp in their hands? They grasp a card that has been written on. It's typed. It's about as old. They might as well have like a big chiseled, you know, caveman deal. You know, I mean, that's how a tablet, that kind of tablet, not the modern tablet. I mean, it's really silly that you think of all this technology and on Sunday they can't have something that looks a little cooler than a white big sheet of paper.
Well, there are a lot of colors on it.
Yeah.
Pretty colors.
Exactly. Colors. Different. I mean, those play sheets are fun. John, when I did a book with John Gruden, he actually gave me one of his to, you know, I used it for the book, and he said, hang on to it. It was from his days as a head coach with the Oakland Raiders. And it's very cool. And he's actually got some little, you know, you wonder what's on this thing. And it is all the play call alerts from the game plan and so forth, situational things. And it's fascinating. But the other thing he did was put the name, now they were really young at the time, his three little sons, his kids' names on the card. He said, just to remind him of what was most important in life on game day. That's a little interesting thing.
I like that. A little tidbit.
A little tidbit, yes.
Inside the mind of Chucky.
After further review.
And finally, guys, now, the operative word is you, as in the two of you. I'm not, you know, not saying the Browns would prefer. I'm saying you would prefer the team make an offer to Jay Cutler instead of drafting a quarterback. Is that
fact or fiction?
I would love this team to make an offer to Jay Cutler, but not in lieu of drafting a guy. I want the offer to Cutler. I want him to at least be in play with that and draft a quarterback. I'm not expecting it to happen, but my feeling, and I expressed it earlier in the show, and I'll say it again, be as aggressive as possible with that position. Throw multiple assets at quarterback. It's that important, and this team is that desperate for it.
If the Browns deem that the way their draft is slotted and the position that they're going to have in the draft allows them to get two major impact players at other positions other than quarterback early on, and maybe even three or four through the first three rounds, and they feel that they can get a quarterback of the future later on in the draft and bring in Jay Cutler and become an immediate AFC North contender, then I'm fine with signing Jay Cutler. Now, if they can get that impact player, a quarterback, on the cheap as it would be with a rookie, that would be good because then you can spend that money in free agents. It's just going to come down to how the money, the allocation of the money in the offseason to get pillars for this team, where they decide they want that to go relative to the draft picks when you have, as you say, that kind of overall plan. We're going to attack, you know, certain positions in the draft, certain in free agency, how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you've got the cap room, which they do, and the wherewithal, which I believe they do, easy for me to say, it's not my checkbook, but I'd like them to use that checkbook to the fullest in terms of addressing that position. And then there's like, and there's still going to be doubt. I mean, there's no such thing as no doubt. But I'm saying if you maybe increase your chances for success of finding someone who can be sustainable and put you over the top, you know, that's how it's going to happen. All right.
That's it, guys.
That's beautiful. Well done, Dino. Nicely done, as
Thank
always.
Thank you. Thank you.
Vic Carucci with you from Liberty Ford in Maple Heights. Again, 5500 Warrensville Center Road. Come on out and say hi to Greg Pruitt. He is still here. He will be till the top of the hour, signing autographs, posing for pictures. We've got free Arby's food available, I think. There's still some sandwiches left because they were here while they lasted. So come on in. People have been coming in to have a little bite while they're talking some football with Greg Pruitt, with yours truly, this big, beautiful showroom. in which we sit here in Maple Heights. And my partner, my buddy, Nathan Zagura, he is in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Carly McCord hanging out there as well, who's helping us out with the show,
y'all.
Doing tweets, y'all. And very happy that we gave away a Barkevious Mingo jersey. All right, we're going to have much more coming up a little bit later in this final portion of the show. You'll hear from Gerard Cherry, and Nathan and I will also want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.